that's the only reason I'm doing this is to be famous. That's actually
You're
not.
You're already famous. You just don't understand. You don't want to acknowledge it.
You know the last time I did the splits was in your basement.
What?
Yeah, it was in your basement.
What basement? Or no, my house now?
No, your house now.
Okay.
Down in your basement, there was a party. I did the splits.
On Glen Cairn?
Yeah.
We were in the basement?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Was the bar there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe it was, maybe it was the party you had. Remember when Neil, like, either he just built the bar or you did a refurb on the bar or something? Mm-hmm. He did something with the bar. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was that party.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I pulled a hamstring so bad it took 3 years to heal. Never did the splits again.
You know, I used to do that party trick all the time
because
I was a gymnast back in the day.
So, very much like Kyle.
I know. I'm going to have to say, probably haven't done the splits since I was about 35. But that was something that I'd be able to do. And that's the thing. You'd get drinking and you would just literally like, I can do it. And you would do it. And then you would pay. Oh, my God. You would pay for days later.
I remember going down on the floor and feeling that pull and thinking, oh, shit, when this alcohol wears off, this is going to be.
I know, but you grinned. Mm-hmm. You didn't let anybody know.
No, fucking Mary Lou Retton out there. I'm doing flips on broken fingers. God, I'm a professional athlete.
Oh, my God. I know, and God love Kyle. She still just, like, pulls that right off. And she can do them this way.
Yeah, could you do the front?
No, I could do them the side way. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think what she does is harder.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I can't believe we're talking about that. Okay. Welcome to Never Not Talking, the podcast where we're always talking about everything and nothing all at once. And today, we're going to get back into reality TV, and I'm joined in the podcast studio by one of my favorite podcast co-hosts, Kim G. Welcome, Kim.
Hello. I'm so happy to be back.
It's great to see you. Do we sound just like Tamara and Teddy?
Oh my God.
Two T's in a pod?
I don't listen to that.
Me either. I have been trying. Because we are a podcast and we're talking about reality TV, I've been checking out other reality TV podcasts just for number one, just to kind of see what's out there. And number two, I don't really get a lot of information about what's going on in the reality TV world outside of the episodes. Like, I don't watch.
That's right. Yeah.
We don't, where we live in Eastern Canada, we don't actually get watch what happens live.
No, I know that's.
You have to watch it on YouTube and it's like, well, whatever. So I've been checking a few out. So I checked out Two T's in a Pod.
Yep. They trash talk a lot of people. Like,
is it worth, is it worth, because I was underwhelmed originally. TikTok,
but you know what I mean? Like, I've never checked it out.
I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
No.
I was going to say, initially when I tried listening to them, I was underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Should I keep, like, if I keep listening, will I, because I didn't hear any hot tea.
Oh, I don't know. I just, the snippets that I get on TikTok are usually, you know, maybe the one sentence that they say shit stuff. I have no idea. I don't watch them, so.
Maybe it's like a movie trailer where they gave you the best stuff in the trailer.
Probably.
And then when you go see the movie, you're like,
Probably. It's funny when you said that like, oh, you're checking out other reality. You said that about your Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret podcast. Were there many other podcasts about that?
About Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret? No, actually, I mean, there were a few, and I don't know that much, but how I look for this is I go into, because I listen to podcasts mostly on Spotify, and I just go into Spotify and type in the subject line, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, and click podcasts. Now, I didn't scroll through endlessly.
Yeah.
I looked at the first few pages, and I picked a few.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of them were really talking about, it was almost like a book club where they chose that.
Okay,
like, it's almost like they were doing book reports on the book.
Yeah.
So they started by telling you, these are the characters and this is how the story arcs.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, well, that's not, I wanted people, you
that's
read
the
book.
That's not the concept of your,
yeah. So I felt like Pamela and I's take on it was somewhat hot.
It was very
it was
good.
Thanks.
It was really good. I did enjoy it.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you back on the podcast because you did such a great job the first time. Record holder. Record holder, our first episode about reality TV got the second most number of downloads in the first 7 days of all the 30-some episodes that have been published to date.
Yeah, so it was probably because it was labeled The Kim and Danielle Show, so that right there flagged. We worked with a group of people that we were all pretty close and had lots of fun, so I feel like it started from there. And
well, maybe we should explain that a little bit. So we didn't actually invent The Kim and Danielle Show.
Well, we didn't know
it was a thing. We were just talking to each other, and people were saying, you guys should have a show, and you can call it The Kim and Danielle Show.
Well, it's almost every meeting we were in together.
I know.
We would always apologize right up front to everybody that they had to endure both of us.
Were you a Nancy Wheeler?
Oh, yeah. When you were talking... No, not... You know when you explain yourself in all of your younger stories of you just created all the clubs and you basically told everybody. I was not that.
No.
I mean, I was my own leader. Kind of like, if I want to do this, I'm going to do this even if everybody's going to go over there.
Would you walk up to new kids on the playground or knock on their door in the neighborhood and say...
I was always the new kid. We moved every 9 months and I was in a new school. So I was always the new kid, but I didn't really have an issue making friends. Not that I like put myself. I wasn't a you. No, I wouldn't say I was a Nancy Wheeler.
Okay.
I was probably somewhere between a Nancy Wheeler and...
You weren't as quiet as a Margaret.
No, but that, don't you find that's interesting as you get older? So for me, I think of myself as like, well, no one's ever going to remember. No one's ever. So I really, really, most of my teenage years, early adult 20s, was really thought of as a snot when really I was just shy. Because you actually said with Pamela, I was one of your friends that was an extrovert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't consider myself an extrovert. And I know you and I have had this conversation like several times.
It's hard for me to know you as outgoing and social as you are.
Oh, if I
and
am
not
a,
label you
if
as
I
an extrovert.
I don't know people. So if Neil and I are going to events, this happens regularly.
Oh, so the
I'm
difference...
always in the car. Don't leave me alone. But even at my own family reunions, for God's sakes, I've said like, okay, don't leave me alone. Because Neil is the total extrovert, could go into any, we call him a chameleon, because he could go into any room with any group of people and just move his way around and talk to everybody. And I am not that. If you know me, you know all of me. But if I am not familiar with you, I'm very reserved and just quiet.
So it's kind of like you're an extroverted introvert because your natural tendencies are introverted when it comes to people that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when it's people that you do know, you're more extroverted with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm more like Neil. I'll walk into a room of complete strangers and get to know everybody. Yeah. So I'm an extrovert, Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also not passive aggressive. I'm aggressive aggressive.
Who wants to be who wants to have that label?
I don't understand why I get so much criticism about my aggressive aggressive because people say how bad it is to be passive aggressive. We all complain about it. So I'm going out of my way to make sure I'm not passive aggressive and it's not working for me.
I don't know. I really consider you just to be, you take things head on. And I don't know who wouldn't appreciate that.
Right.
Apparently the people I'm taking head on.
I mean, I learned a lot. I mean, you and I have talked about this. Just didn't like me working underneath you and like the things that I took away from. No, but from your leadership was, which was always like, don't let anything linger. Address it right away. Don't ever, if there's like a one guilty party, don't address it in a group of the thing. You just go to that person because that person's not going to know. So like those things. And I appreciate that stuff. I understand not everybody appreciates that way of working, but I would not want to be labeled passive aggressive. Because of the people that I label passive aggressive, I go like, no, I wouldn't want to be you.
Look at the choices. You can be passive aggressive, you can be passive, or you can be aggressive.
Yeah.
Of those three choices, clearly passive and passive aggressive are not the ones that you want to be identified with.
Yeah, and it's like you can, like, that's interchangeable, right? Aggressive meaning like you're just a strong personality that you know what you want and there's no bullshit. It's this or that. Like people always say like, geez, Kim, why don't you really tell us how you feel? Like because I don't have that filter where you don't either, right?
No. Let's do this Real Housewives shit.
Okay.
The season that just ended for New Jersey, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
That was season 13? Because I think they're filming season 14 now.
Are they? I thought they were still in contract negotiations of who's like in and who's out.
Okay, so for context, today's date is July 18th, 2023.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Real Housewives of New Jersey season that just ended a few weeks ago now. And right. I think, do we get it at the exact same time as the States gets it, or are we delayed a bit?
No, I think we get it at the same time.
Okay.
Because we watch it on American channels.
But we don't watch it on Bravo. We watch it on Slice.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Doesn't matter. The one that just ended and...
It was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about...
Yeah.
Is I wanted to wrap up that season by talking about the reunion. Okay? And the first thing I want to talk about is their outfits that they wore to the reunion.
I did not think they were that great, quite honestly, now that you're bringing that up.
Okay. I made some notes.
Okay. Of course you did.
Melissa Dash. No. I don't like the hood. She had this pantsuit. It had this hood. Yeah, I remember. Hate those hoods.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen one I liked. Marge, I gave her a check mark. Boy, she's some fucking skinny.
Ozempic, man. Ozempic does the deal. Dolores, too.
Dolores, I gave her a check mark.
Yep.
Again. Rachel Fuda. No. And I didn't think that was a good color on her. She had that really vibrant yellow. No, I did not care for that.
Nope.
Jennifer Aiden. No.
No.
Danielle. I said it was okay. And then I wrote something else that looks like back poof. Did she have a big poof on the back of her dress?
I don't recall, but I do know that I thought she looked good. But I think she always looks good. But see, I'm a fan of Danielle's.
Do you like her because...
I know you don't. I know.
No, no, but do you like her because...
Her name?
Yeah.
She reminds me of you? No. No, I like her. Neil and I both like her because she's like... From like Jersey Shore almost, right? The way she talks.
And you know her tagline? I'd rather be bougie than basic.
Yeah.
The last housewife, Teresa. Do you remember her outfit? She had this yellow pantsuit.
Yes.
Now, I will tell you, her body looked great.
Yes.
I didn't actually mind it, except the train was ridiculous. That's what I meant about Danielle's back poof. Why do you have these elaborate trains and back poofs when you're sitting on the couch? Okay.
Yeah. Teresa's hair looked great.
I said short hair, yes.
Yeah, she finally cut it.
Thought it was super cute.
I mean, she has a terrible hairline. Like,
it's never bothered me. I didn't like that there was a panty built into her dress.
Yeah.
Or her pantsuit.
Agreed.
And that was like too attracting the eye. I didn't like it. Let's talk about how skinny they all are from the Ozempic. Mm-hmm. The fuck? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how Jackie... I just can't even... I know how I feel about my body. Yeah. And I don't even have a diagnosed eating disorder.
Yeah.
So here you are battling an eating disorder and you're watching all these fucking ridiculous people who were not big to begin with.
Yeah.
Abuse themselves with drugs so they can look even more fashionable. And I'm not talking about, okay, obviously if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic and you're trying to, or you have weight related illnesses and it's super important for you to get your weight under control. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fashion. I'm talking about... These people are taking Ozempic aesthetically, not for health reasons. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I agree with that. And I can't even imagine what people battling eating disorders think about that.
I will say, I just saw Dr. Dubrow on TMZ last night.
No way. Oh, so dish, dish.
They were discussing Lisa Marie Presley's autopsy has now become common knowledge. She was on Ozempic. They did find opioids in her body, but that's not what killed her. She died of a small bowel obstruction.
Oh. I know where you're going with this.
They had Terry Dubrow on. There was all talk about Lisa Marie leading up to that. There was an award ceremony or something, and everybody was talking about the weight she'd lost. Well, she was taking Ozempic up to that. So what he was saying was, people don't know this, but one of the side effects is this slows down...
Your digestive system.
That's right. So therefore... So she had just recently
Which is
had,
why you're not hungry as much, because... It takes so long to go through your system, you feel fuller faster. And it creates, I understand, a fairly significant side effect is constipation. So can that be related to the small bowel obstruction?
Yeah, so Lisa Marie Presley had all kinds of stuff. She'd had bariatric surgery a couple years before.
Okay.
Then she was on Ozempic. So she'd had like, I don't know, he said like 30 feet of her intestine removed and all this other stuff. But because she had all these things and then she was on Ozempic, he said, people don't know, as much as this is a widespread, oh my God, everybody's using it right now, people don't understand the side effect. It can cause, then you get a twisted bowel because of the whole thing, and you literally could die from that, which I found like really kind of scary.
It's so complex because on one hand, I just said earlier kind of my thoughts on the thing, which is basically if you don't need it for health reasons, you shouldn't be doing it. But what if it's for mental health reasons? Like, yeah. It's the same with plastic surgery, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like I wouldn't feel good if I had elective plastic surgery. And it seems selfish to put yourself at risk for something that you don't really need. And if you need it mentally, mm-hmm. Should that be fixed? Or is that the same thing? Like, you're trying to improve your physical health. Are you also trying to improve your mental health?
Well, it's all connected.
Right. It's all connected. Exactly. But it feels like if we didn't hold ourselves to these impossible standards of beauty and fitness and wellness and all this stuff, we wouldn't go to such extremes. For example, being an already healthy person but putting your health at risk because you want to be able to fit into a lower size dress. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I know you know what I mean. So because it slows your digestive system down and constipation is such a problem, people invariably are loading up on laxatives and stool softeners and different things to help themselves go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have had a lot of experience with fiber, laxatives.
I have not.
Stool softeners.
No.
Okay. It's kind of like the corks up the horse's bums. It's like the Ozempic is the cork.
Yeah.
And everything going through that horse's digestive tract is moving at a brisker pace with all of the stuff you're loading in to help go to the bathroom. And it just shoots that cork out of there. And when it does, everything else shoots out.
From what I understood him to say, it was almost the lack of activity in the bowel that was creating the side effect. Anyway, Margaret looks lovely. Dolores looks lovely. I just read online, take that with a grain of salt, but saying that, apparently she wants to lose another 20 pounds. She's not going to stop taking the Ozempic yet because she wants to lose another 20 pounds.
You don't just take it while you're losing weight. You have to keep taking it. Mm-hmm. Some people report quite bothersome side effects in terms of nausea and vomiting and just like generally feeling like shit.
Yep.
Would you go through that to be thin? It would depend how bad it is.
If I could get it, I would. We talked about this last time. So the outfits, we've gone through the outfits. Mm-hmm. Only about 20% were approvals. The rest of them, it was kind of like, what were you thinking?
Melissa was definitely a what were you thinking. And Danielle, it was really elaborate back poof. You're sitting on your ass. And Teresa, like, she needed how many people to help her carry that fucking train? Like, come on.
So I feel like Teresa and
Melissa, carry your own damn outfits, for God's sakes. It's not the, you're not the queen of France.
And I didn't find Melissa's that bad. I thought the blue was lovely. They were definitely competing against each other in every sense. That's what I got out of it. From their outfits to, oh my God, who was going to get the last word?
Starting with my notes, Teresa and Jennifer totally set Danielle up with the Melissa cheating on Joe rumor.
Absolutely. And I don't know how Danielle was sitting there and not really getting that.
Oh, she got it because they filmed her in the dressing room after going, they set me up.
But she only said that once she was off state. Because they even said, do you feel like you were set up? And she was like, no.
That was ridiculous. That was so friggin' obvious. Why was Louis running around shirtless off stage in the dressing room? He looked like such a douche.
So number one.
What the fuck?
Why? I will say Teresa and Louis need to stop tinting their skin. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know what they're doing to get that color.
Okay, that's a good point. It's crazy. Because I feel it's their own special color.
And Gia is doing the same thing.
They're darker than Trump.
I don't even know how they're getting. It's like, okay, it is so.
And then when his face turns red under that color. Andy's explosion in quotation marks. So I had been hearing everything online because I get my TikToks and my reels and all that stuff before I watched the episodes because they were backed up on my PVR. When I saw it, I was like, Andy's explosion, really not that big of a deal.
No.
Okay. Totally justified.
I feel Andy yells at every reunion now, regardless of what city he's doing. He's basically saying, shut up to somebody.
First of all, they're talking over each other. They're yelling. Yeah. They're super rude. Okay. I have lost my shit worse than that on my family that are the people I love most in the world. How could you expect any human to not lose their shit on that with people that you don't even care about that much? And they're like, or they make all his salary and blah, blah. It's like, it's no, fuck off. Teresa's the new Vicky.
So I don't even know how he literally didn't bitch slap both Teresa and Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause even Melissa's behavior was so out there. I can only imagine what they've been dealing with, you know, all this family drama. But it's like, Melissa, just shut up. If you shut up, she would shut up. And neither one of them, do you know what I mean? Because Teresa's a fucking doughhead. Like, she's such a dodo. She always seems to have to, like, say the last thing. So if you just shut up, she will stop.
I tried listening to Melissa and Teresa's podcast.
They have one?
Oh, yeah. More than one, I think. All the housewives have podcasts. And I haven't yet been able to find one that I could tolerate.
Can we just go to the thing that lingered all season?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we talked about this last time, so we don't really need to revisit it. But the whole issue between Margaret, Danielle.
The Arsenal?
Arsenal. I was going to say repertoire. That seemed so ridiculous, first of all, that it lasted all season.
It seemed faked and inflated and overdone.
So I was super happy that they kind of just went, yes, we can agree. It wasn't a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, they're moving forward. They've squashed it. It's like, oh, thank God. Because I don't think I could, like, really relive any of that in a new season.
Arsenal Gate.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So you were happy that got put to bed?
Yeah.
Okay. Louis shutting down his company and the way he did it seemed shady. Why is Dolores supporting him?
Okay, so I had this mark too.
Okay.
Dolores needs to pick to
my get... next line. Dolores is a fence sitter and it's time to get down. Yes. Exclamation point.
Absolutely.
Get off the fence, Dolores.
Yes.
The fuck? Doesn't look cool anymore.
And she was like, Joe, no. No, it's all good. He gave Frankie a job and everything's fine. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, so I don't even know dramatic. How you can still. Yes. I do enjoy Dolores. Soup. Think her and Polly are really cute. I think it's great how she kind of just stays, like, has her own life and stays out of the drama. But at some point, when do you hold your friends accountable for, like, bad behavior?
I don't understand. It's like she's given Teresa a lifelong pass.
Yes.
Like a lifelong hall pass. Like,
it's like, well, that's Teresa, though. And it's just like.
So if she goes out and murders somebody, we'd be like, that's Teresa, though. That's a good point. Where does the line.
When do you hold somebody accountable for their behavior? When it's bad behavior, if you're friends.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, the next controversy I wanted to talk about, this was ongoing throughout the season as well. Bill Aiden. Bill Aiden ignoring his kids.
Oh, God. Living in the pool house?
I have so much to say about this.
Living in the pool house?
Let me start by saying, if I was married to Jennifer, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a Jennifer fan. I can say a lot of positive things about Jennifer, but in this context, if I had to come home to that house with all of those people in it, I would go sit in the pool house too. Okay?
Okay, let's just take a second, though. If you had to come home to that house with all those people in it,
chaos.
Number one... You could come into that house and for an hour not see anybody because the house is fucking gigantic. They're either in the basketball court or they're over in the theater or they're over in the, like, come
actually,
on.
That's a good point. I'm defending you here, Bill, and really the fact that you needed to leave
that
mansion is kind of ridiculous. That's a good point. Okay, but apparently he feels like he does. He likes to go sit in the pool house.
He needs to wind down.
He needs to wind down.
And, well, let's be real, though. Well, that little girl, she's a lot.
Did, like, your mother. That's what would have happened if I had a
daughter. Do you recognize anything in that little girl?
Wow, Kim, that hits really hard. Okay. I haven't not noticed. Let me put it to you that way. I just want to say this about women who want to marry successful professional men.
Yes.
So Jennifer's a perfect example. She's the type of person who she wanted to marry a successful professional man who was going to make a lot of money, who was going to be able to give her the lifestyle that she wanted. She wanted to have children. She wanted to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Successful professional men don't tend to have a great work-life balance. So you got what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to bitch and whine and complain that he's not spending enough time with you. He's not at home enough. He's not with the kids enough. It's like, okay, there's only so many hours in the day, people. Pick your lane.
But this was the only season she ever complained about that. From the first time we've met them, she has been the proper wife that has the children and makes sure everything's done. And it's only once
she only came out with this after everybody found out about the affair.
Only once the affair thing came out, because that bubbled up probably very raw feelings that she had stuffed away a very long time ago, and it brought out insecurities. So then as her husband comes home still, as the children are getting older, it's not like they're little, they're all really kind of figuring, and he's going to the pool house. Well, I'm offended when Neil comes home from work and he just sits on the outside on his phone and he doesn't want, it's like, you've been gone all day. Don't you want to come in? Don't you want to talk to me? Don't you want to touch me?
Okay. Okay. This is something that you and I have never been able to agree on.
Well, no, we agree. We just agree. We're different. We have different needs.
Are you trying to say the moral of the story is you just have to respond to your spouse's needs? So Bill, this is what your wife wants, like it or lump it.
No, it's not a like or lump. But the whole idea of marriage is if it means something and it's important to your partner, well, then really, shouldn't it be important to you? It's not a matter of, well, that's too bad.
But there are limits on that, because that's I think there's a wall where.
Yes. OK. No, that's fair.
Your needs are not reasonable.
I know, but when the man comes home from work and doesn't spend 3 hours in a pool house, I don't think that's an unreasonable ask to say, you know what, you get your 30 minutes or whatever, but then it's like, I need you to come and talk to me. I've also had it a whole day.
But really, he's clarified that at the reunion, said he's generally only in there like 45 minutes to an hour.
Now?
Oh, he's cut it down. Now. Oh, I thought he was trying to say
The reunion, he has said, no, it is now better. I only take this much time basically to unwind and... Yeah.
Oh, he was saying he improved. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I do think that whole thing got generated because you never heard her talk about what she needed and her husband's not there. You never heard any of that stuff
until that's a good point.
Last season when that all came out, which would have brought up all this other stuff for her.
Yeah,
and probably really made her a little bit insecure, right?
I really like the way that you explained that. On the Bill Aiden theme... Oh my gosh, that poor man. He's such an introvert. I feel like it would be like if my husband was forced to go sit on the reunion.
I know, but then he gets hammered.
So funny. Oh my God. I love drunk Bill Aiden.
I know.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't mind drunk Bill or Jen Aiden, honestly.
I have never thrown shade on Jen Aiden for her drinking because I feel like she's like me.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot more fun and tolerable, mm-hmm. so people should just mm-hmm. let her drink.
I do find it very interesting that Bill Aiden is Louis's friend, but all the other, like the rest of the guy crowd, because they're like, oh, and he knows all this stuff, it's very strange to me. Number one, that they were in the fucking wedding.
Oh my God.
Like that was like, I didn't get that.
Like what?
But it just seems weird that Bill is like feeding into this weird, I don't know. I just find it
I feel like odd. They've aligned themselves somehow with the wrong side. And you'd think strategically, because they're very clearly social climbers. You think strategically they would align themselves.
Bill and Jen?
Yeah.
Do you think?
You don't think Bill and Jen are social climbers?
No, I think he's too busy working. I really do.
She's climbing for the both of them.
I guess.
Okay. What is that word? How I feel about Jennifer... complaining about starts with a B, B-U-B-W. All right, we'll get back to that. But I think another reason why we both like Bill Aiden is we like most of the house husbands on New Jersey.
Love all of them, and except Louis.
Obviously, yes, but he adds, you know, he's mm-hmm. a good villain. Of all the franchises, they are the most entertaining husbands.
I know.
They could, yeah.
They have their own.
They could have their own show.
They do, on the road.
Oh, yeah, right. When the house husbands all got together and they got high.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that so much. First of all, good on you, Frank Catania.
Oh, I know.
Getting in on the cannabis. You go, dude. Joe Gorga eating his french fries. Oh, my God. It was so funny. funny because they were so funny, and then they all got the munchies. It was like the best.
Yep.
I did not like Margaret's comments about Jennifer consuming cannabis because I felt Margaret, you know, it's 2023. Alcohol is the new tobacco.
I don't think Margaret actually cares.
No,
Margaret,
I think she just
Margaret just gets so.
It was a soft target. Like, she got mad and she just picked.
She just goes for the jugular when she, and it's shocking because she has so much more class. I think I said this last time we were talking too. If Margaret could just hold her tongue, she would come off as the classy woman that she really is. And it's shocking to me how Jennifer Aiden can get her to go so low. Yeah. The same as how I was actually so shocked of Melissa's behavior at the reunion.
Melissa's behavior, she was definitely more annoying than she usually is. I felt like...
Absolutely.
I felt like this was the first kind of season and reunion where she kind of came in saying, everyone knows the truth now. I don't have to pretend I'm taking the high road. Like, I'm just going to say it.
Even when Teresa kept throwing out the whole, like, well, you're going to be gone. And Melissa's like, oh, am I?
Okay, Teresa... Vicky Gunvalson, why would you threaten something so stupid? You do not mean anything to them. They would axe you in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I would pat Andy on the back for doing his job.
Okay, but realistically, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would love it if they would get rid of Teresa. I would love it.
Okay, one of the podcasts I found, it's all about the Real Housewives or all about the True Housewives or something. It's not famous people, like they're two normal people like us. I think it's a girl and her cousin, actually.
Okay.
I listened to some of this because they're breaking... What I want is I want a podcast where they're breaking stuff down and telling me stuff that I don't already know about. Mm-hmm. And they were doing that with New Jersey and they were doing a good job, but they're very pro-Teresa, which I thought was so interesting to listen to because I can't imagine how anybody could be pro-Teresa.
I don't
and
either.
And to hear them try to present this other side, it was insanity. But aren't
you? I feel like you're kind of...
I'm not pro-Teresa in terms of what she's doing. I am because I like that she stirs up drama for the show.
I know, but it's nonsense. She is so delusional in the shit she says.
Yeah, you're right. It's starting to wear. Because it wasn't as good as her original. Okay, before we get off the cannabis, I wrote down pot on your pussy. They were talking about topical cannabis that can be applied directly to your nether regions. Yeah. Do you remember what they were talking about?
No, at the reunion or through the season?
I don't know. I wrote it down, but...
I do not think this was talked about at the reunion.
Well, just so people know, that is a thing, and apparently it's fantastic. I have not tried it. But I have read a lot of reviews about it, and apparently it's fantastic. Would you ever consider trying that?
I would try it. Well, what's it supposed to do?
Cannabis is a vasodilator.
Uh-huh.
It's a vasodilator, and it significantly increases blood flow to your pelvic area.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the whole thing about when you're pregnant and you're heavy, it's putting all that extra weight.
Okay. Yep.
So it makes that area hornier. It's increasing the blood flow. It's increasing the sensitivity. It's increasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's more sensitive to physical touch.
There also can be the point of, like, just touching. It's like, okay, don't even touch it.
Okay, well, you'd have... I mean, obviously, it would take some trial and error. But what's interesting about that product, what I prefer for sex are edibles. And the reason why I prefer edibles for sex is because you feel it through your entire body, but you get high. Well, some people would like to have crazy cannabis sex, but they don't necessarily want to be high. Well, when you use a topical like that, you don't get high.
Are you going to cut any of this out?
No. This is very educational.
Okay, sorry.
What?
Well, no, I was going to say something, but if you're not going
to... Oh, well, same. I can cut out what you say and just leave in what I want to say. It's very common
when women
consume alcohol. Some women, similar to men getting rum pole and whiskey dick and all the different... Okay. The female version of that is because alcohol dulls your senses, your sensations. It can be hard to cross the finish line. Well, cannabis, conversely, heightens sensations.
Okay.
I can tell you I have gotten on the crazy cannabis sex bus because it is the best sex I've ever had in my life. I thought I had a great sex life with my husband. I didn't know there was like a whole other dimension that I hadn't walked into.
Tapped into.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. So I'm very pro that. Everyone should try it. And everyone should try it more than once because
Well, yes.
The complicated thing about cannabis is you kind of have to practice. You got to
figure out your, yeah.
The next topic, we have not discussed this ahead of time. Well, actually, I'll do this one first. Teresa stalking off the stage.
Oh my God.
And don't follow me.
What?
And
what
nobody was that? Did. Nobody did. I think my theory.
Was it from last year when something had happened and then somebody followed her?
No, that. Oh, I don't remember that. But I honestly believe the only reason she did that is because she wanted to show off her dress, her pantsuit.
Oh.
It was not going to get the attention, her sitting down, but this dramatic stalk off was like head to toe.
Oh, that's a good, yeah,
that's theory. My theory. We haven't discussed this in advance, but I feel just intuitively that you and I are on the same page about Louis Ruelas.
Well, I feel like everybody is on the same page about Louis.
Except Teresa and the two girls on this podcast, The Real Housewife, All About the Real Truth, the one I was telling you about, where they're pro-Teresa, pro-Louis.
Is there something wrong with them?
I don't know.
Like, what else do they, like,
I don't,
like,
I don't know. I don't,
like, in everything understand. Else they're saying, does it make sense or no?
Yeah. Just, but on the topic of Louis and Teresa, it's like, what are you even talking about?
Do they just like the drama of the two? Or do they actually think that these two people make sense when they're...
They think that he's being maligned and his reputation is that he's a great guy and people are just being shady and... I don't know what it is about him. He doesn't look genuine. He does.
How many times does he have to backtrack on the shit he said? Okay, so I didn't. So I didn't wear your dad's pajama pants. Okay, so I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. I just said that. It's like, and not only that, but Joe, Frank,
other Joe, Martha's Joe,
but
Margaret's Joe,
but Fuda.
Yeah,
like. That he's like contacted the ex-wife of the mother of the child, and it's like everybody can't be making this up.
I know.
Now, I also did see, I forget where, this Bo Dietl guy saying like, no, Louis has never hired me to get
100%, but I actually got a little bit more information about that from listening to these other podcasts. Okay, if you listen very closely to what Louis and Bo Dietl are saying, they're saying he never hired Bo Dietl to get him that information.
Right.
Which in my mind says there was an exchange. There was not an exchange of money. But they both talk about what good friends they are with each other. So, no, you didn't hire Bo Dietl. But Bo Dietl walked up to you and said, hey, would you like to know some dirt I got on so-and-so? And they can, it's like Bill Clinton. I never had sexual relations with one, you know.
And I don't understand why Teresa, so even when they like reference that scene, he's in the kitchen saying, oh my God, Bo Dietl, I got stuff on everybody. And then they bring that up and Teresa's like, no, I don't know.
Like, roll the fucking tape.
And didn't Margaret say, so then someone is calling her stepson or whatever, and they trace the number back to, it's his number. And then Louis on stage, and he goes, well, yeah, that's my number. But, like, my God, no, I didn't do that. It's like, oh, my God.
I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And even when he's demonstrating some type of intense emotion, it just always looks like he's faking it. Like he's overdoing it. Like, oh, I'm supposed to feel this way in this moment. So raw, let me go into character. It's like, I don't know. It's fucking weird, man.
So Melissa seems to think that he was trying to pinpoint somebody on any Real Housewife.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because she makes a comment about how.
That he dated the one from Miami.
He was, or tried to, or whatever. So it's almost kind of like, oh, he's chasing fame somewhat. So does he not have a business right now?
Well, I tried to get what I could by reading offline. So it, because I was trying to figure out, like, where does this guy get his money? Like, where is the money coming from?
Right.
And it was really unclear. And it sounded like businesses, he's had companies in the past that basically dealt with things like junk bonds. Like, it's like technically they're legal, but it's kind of shady. So I don't really know. I don't know where he gets his money at all. And my question was, what is his motivation? What is he trying to get? Is he trying to get rich and famous? So he's using the Housewives as a platform to do that? Like, what is his motivation? And why do her girls like him so much? Why did the girls stand behind? Well,
they are offspring of her.
Yeah,
it's super unfortunate for Gia that because she grew up on this show and now she's this young adult, but she's coming off with this attitude and now it's just like, oh my God, she's not coming off well.
No, I know. She's starting to behave a lot like her mother.
Yes. Yeah. She's turning the same color as her mother.
Yeah. They're all using that. I'm surprised there's not a Teresa Tanner. Okay. Anything else that we didn't cover from the season and the reunion? So basically,
we're both
Team Andy all the way. Andy all the way.
Yes.
We both agree Louis is shady as fuck. Mm-hmm. Something's going on there. It's only a matter of time before the lid flies off that. Mm-hmm. You don't care if Teresa gets axed from the show.
I would like her, if this was not a reality show, I would say they should just kill her. Like,
oh,
you know, they should just, you know.
If this was General Hospital.
If it wasn't real people, I would say they could just kill her and, like, you know, get rid of that story.
I wanted to finish up by talking about Teresa's wedding.
Yep.
Bravo, I'm calling bullshit. There was a little thing at the bottom of the screen that said Teresa's wedding cost $500,000.
Yeah.
That wedding cost way more than $500,000. I don't know, $500,000, if that's what came out of their pocket or after some deal, whatever. There's no way.
I didn't even see that at the bottom of the screen.
You know how they give you little things at the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, it said that the wedding equaled $500,000. Just her hair, okay? Just her hair alone.
With the 5,000 bobby pins or whatever.
1,500 bobby pins, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Just her hair cost $10,000.
Come on. Oh, because of all the extensions?
Yes.
And all the fake hair pieces?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way,
I don't know if that included the crown. I'm going to assume
I don't know
$10,000.
I don't know if the way Andy was asking everyone's opinion, including Louis, of what he thought about her hair, that she understood how ridiculous she looked with the hair.
Okay, I want to talk about that for a minute. Was it over the top? Absolutely. I mean, there was one shot where Teresa, I think it was when they were going into the venue or something, and she's like walking from the car into the building or whatever, and they're all helping her with her dress. And I was like, ooh, the vibe is really My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. Like, it really felt, you know, how they need all these people helping them because they're, right?
Oh my God, that's a really good reference.
Her hair and this embroidered message on the back of her train. I'm sorry, I thought that was tacky as fuck. So those two things, the message on the train and her hair gave off My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. But I will say, from the front, I liked the look. It's from the side, it was like, then you got to see how big it really was. But face on, I thought it looked nice. I thought she looked nice. It was too much.
But it's Teresa.
Yes. But think of it. She had two dresses. How many fucking bridesmaids and groomsmen? Basically, whoever was wearing that color, whatever that color was, champagne, rose, gold, or whatever.
Well, I think if you Google that, that's not coming up as $500,000.
Venues in those cities in America are really expensive. You can spend $200,000 just on the venue. And then all the food. I cannot imagine that the cost of that was, I believe it was much more than $500,000.
Okay.
I believe it was much more. It just looked so gross. Bravo. What do you call that thing what teachers do in school? Bravo curved the price to make it look.
Oh, that's actually what's coming up when you Google it. And literally about her hair.
Yeah.
$10,000.
Insanity. It's like, if I had to pick between Joe and Teresa, I feel like Joe Gorga is telling more truthful statements than Teresa is. But the reality is, they both want to be famous. They both want to be rich.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. No question, we've always been Melissa and Joe fans.
Right.
I will say I'm less of a Melissa fan now.
Yeah.
Definitely still not moved over to Teresa.
Yeah.
Good God, I love Joe.
Me too. And even though people say bad stuff about him, and I'm sure some of it's true, I still love him.
Me too.
He's just fun. Cute. He would be fun. He would be fun to hang out with.
Yes.
I want to get high with Joe Gorga.
And Frank.
Oh, yeah.
And
Margaret's Joe.
Yes.
And Evan. Evan would be so fun. You guys come to our beach, there'll be no cameras, and we will have a good time.
What did you think about Margaret's, okay, so I think we should leave because...
Oh, Margaret, that was so stupid. You're not accomplishing anything. It's like, I'm going to show support for Melissa. Nobody cares. You might as well have enjoyed the party. It's like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
One thing I felt as I was watching it, Teresa's wedding felt like it was for the show.
Everything she does is for that.
Right? I know. But it's like publicity. It's like they go on and on about how, you know, family and blah, blah. It's like every guest there was a Bravo reality TV person. Yeah. And it just seemed, I don't know, it didn't seem like a celebration of love. It seemed like a celebration of reality TV.
It was an exploitation of.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and that's who they are.
Yeah.
Everything they do is all about what's the. Now, she also says Melissa and Joe are the same way. All they only do stuff for the publicity stuff. Yeah, and stuff I see and some
of
that.
It. And obviously, all of them are like that, but it's degrees. Some of them are not as bad as others. Mm-hmm. And I don't find Melissa and Joe as gross or intolerable necessarily as I do find, like, Teresa and Louis, for example.
Now, you know what would be really interesting?
Yeah.
Would be to have a sit down with Joe Giudice now that he's so far removed from all of this. To say, okay, I mean, he was an ass on the show and a dick to his wife on the show. Mm-hmm. I just think it would be interesting to talk to him now that he's so far removed from this and he's, like, probably gone through, like, cathartic experiences and all this stuff.
I don't think he says and as then, much like, as you think you want him to because, no, but that Bravo money is his girl's money too, right? So I don't think he would say anything that would potentially damage Teresa's.
But just even in the income. Like to his family or whatever, to be now looking on the outside looking at Teresa, like, does he go, I mean, I think he thought she was an idiot anyway even when he was married to her, but it's like I can only imagine his thoughts watching all of this play out from now his, you know what I mean, position. It's like, oh my god.
On the last episode we talked a little bit about don't be tardy for the party. And since then, we heard the scandal of Croy and Kim.
A huge divorce scandal.
Right? Huge. And that she's like a gambling addict or whatever.
And how bad. My God.
I missed that. You reminded me they used to stop at casinos all the time and the scratch tickets. I hadn't even really picked up on that. But it's true.
And they were like battling for custody. They were saying horrible things about each other.
Horrible. And now they're reconciled? And now,
last week, wouldn't you know it? Wow. Oh my God, everything's okay, and they are back together.
That sounds like a functional relationship that you want to put money down on.
Well, some people are speculating that this is all about steps towards her getting back into Bravo to be able to make money because there's all this drama that it's a publicity stunt.
Oh, the whole thing is a publicity stunt?
This is what I have, well, yes, this is one aspect that I have heard.
Interest. So it's like, people Andy, look about. At me, look
oh,
at me.
Oh, actually, they were talking to Sheree. She was on Whitfield. A podcast the other night. And again, this is only snippets through TikTok. Mm-hmm. No, actually, maybe it was TMZ. And they were saying, what do you think? They threw out this theory. Like, some people were speculating this could have been just a ploy, understanding they were in financial trouble. And then with all this drama based on Scandival that it's happened with Vanderpump Rules that creates all of this. Now you got millions of people tuning into a show that they had no idea even existed before because of all of this scandal that happened. That maybe this was something that they played at for her to get back onto Bravo, which Sheree played it very cool. She was just like, no matter what.
Can, she give an opinion?
You know, she just said, wow, if they did, that's like super creative. But she's like, Kim Zolciak's always good TV anyway. So, you know, whether she goes back on to Housewives or she has her own thing. Mm-hmm. No question at this point, everybody would tune in.
Oh, yeah. Especially if they're back together. You're going to tune in to see if they're really back together.
Yeah. So.
I had a thought in my head that we would do an episode for every reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Never not talking over, never